Welcome to Radar. This program can be heard at thevinyldistrict.com or anywhere fine podcasts are found. Here is your host, Evan Toth.
What does it take to be epic? Many filmmakers and creators struggle to construct breathtaking spectacles for audiences that will allow them to escape into a transformative world that depicts events that would not normally be seen with human eyes. But what about the music? Once they've created the visual component, how do they find the right music to both complement and even elevate the towering images that appear on your local IMAX theater's screens? For many years, the industry has called upon Sam Nelson Harris and his band X-Ambassadors to provide music for the soundtracks that are as compelling as your favorite comic book character's powers. Most recently, the band featured a song in the new Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom film, but they've also placed music in Transformers: The Last Knight, The Call of the Wild, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Suicide Squad. It's the band's prodigious sound and production that make them the perfect choice for an enthralling cinematic display. The voice you hear on these tracks belongs to the band's frontman, Sam Nelson Harris, who is also an actor, producer, and songwriter. On this episode, Sam and I discuss how he and the band traverse the intersection between the music and film industries. We also discuss the band's forthcoming newest record, Townie, which is slated to be released on April 5th. It's easy to hear how Sam and I are both excited for this release to hit the shelves. So think big, get into a larger-than-life mood, and prepare to explore the process by which the huge sounds you hear on your favorite viewing screen usually just come from one person with an idea. The magic is in how that acorn is transformed into a towering oak. Sam Nelson Harris shares his secrets about taking good ideas and molding them into something epic. Thank you so much for joining me today, Sam Nelson Harris. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, man. It's a pleasure.
You got it. We're excited because you've got a new tune, Deep End, for the Aquaman 2 film, and it's a cool tune. Like, you know, you guys have that thing going, you know, that movie sound. It's really exciting to listen to. You know, just curious, it's always exciting for a musician to hear their music on the radio or in different places, but there's got to be something different, something a little extra about watching it on the big screen. What's that feeling like?
I feel like our music just tends to lend itself to something cinematic. And I actually wrote the song specifically for the film. It was like, I wrote it like maybe a year and a half ago. The movies, it takes a long time to put something like that together. The song didn't take long at all. The song took like an afternoon. But yeah, man, you know, look, I grew up, obsessed with superheroes and comics, and I've always wanted to write a song for a superhero movie, and I've actually had the good fortune of writing a couple things for a couple different superhero franchises, and so anytime it comes up, I jump at the chance, and there's a really good group of people involved, and it was kind of a no-brainer for me to do it. And it's always a treat to like hear your song in something as epic as that.
Yeah, it is epic. And again, your sound is epic too. So as you mentioned, it does match very well. Hey, am I just noticing your hat? You have a Paul McCartney Ram hat on?
I got a Ram hat. So my buddy Gordon made this for me, and it's I just got it today. Oh, look at that.
There you go. We got one. That. We got two. We got
wow.
three.
Wow.
There we go.
Wow.
We keep going. We're just going to keep going here. Here we go. So we love Ram in this house, and it matches your hat. So that's exciting. I guess, are you a McCartney fan? Ram's a funny kind of album.
It's a funny record. I just was always more partial to McCartney, I think. I also really love that George Harrison record too. If I'm being honest, I think George's record, All Things Must Pass, is probably my personal favorite of all the solo Beatles records. Yeah, I also just, I do love Ram and I do love this hat. So
it's a great record, and that's a cool hat. That's a one of a kind. As far as I understand, Aquaman 2 has sort of a concept about brothers, brotherhood, something like that in there. And you, of course, in your band, you're with your brother in the band. And, you know, did you draw any comparisons there, any connections that you could sort of relate there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, that is what I kind of drew from, you know, for this song. The song is kind of about perseverance.
Right.
My brother and I have been through a lot together. I have written many, many songs about that topic just because of the fact that my brother and I have been through so much together. Mm. As siblings and as bandmates. So yeah, it was pretty easy to draw from that well. For this film, and that was actually the first thing, you know, like I wanted to talk about when they kind of send you a breakdown when you're writing a song for film. They'll like send you a breakdown of the themes and like kind of give you a sense of like where the song will be, and one of the themes was brotherhood, and I was like, oh well, that's something I can feel and I can touch on, you know, in a deeper way. So yeah, that definitely played a part in the song for sure.
Interesting. I personally, I'm an only child, so I didn't have that experience growing up, but I do have two boys who are brothers. They're three years apart, and we've got music in the house and instruments, and we all play a little bit, but, you know, what was it like, you know, sometimes you have that sibling rivalry, but you guys managed to learn how to make music with one another. And did you grow up doing that? Was that just a natural extension? Yeah.
Yeah, no, we did. My mom was a singer. So there was always music in the house. And when we were very little, we would sing with her, you know, at some of her shows, kind of just like a gimmick.
Right.
And then, so we got older. Our musical tastes kind of were very divergent from each other for most of middle school. And then sort of into high school, we started listening to some of the same things and found some middle ground there. He became friends with my friends, and my friends were just like, your brother's so good. Why isn't he playing in our band? And I finally caved and asked him to be a part of the band. And since then, we haven't looked back, and I actually think, you know, it made us so much closer, being able to work on stuff together and work on music together, to create together. It's really the best. It's the best thing, man.
I'm always curious about the intersection between film and music. It's, in fact, I had an opportunity to talk to Kenny Loggins a little bit about his work in the soundtrack business over the years. You know, the landscape is very different now, but when I was a kid, so many favorite like deep cuts were songs that were from movies, you know, or soundtracks of films that we watched. And you've done obviously a lot of production work alone and with your group, but you know, with soundtracks, can you sort of explain a little bit for the layperson sort of the process of writing a song and the studio's kind of, you know, or maybe the director's reaction, or how you kind of work together with that film team to sort of make it what they need, but also sort of represent what your vision of that tune is? Just as you mentioned for this tune for Aquaman 2, you know, you said you kind of banged it out in an afternoon, but like what kind of happens? Maybe you could just take us a little bit through the nuts and bolts process of what kind of goes on with that whole thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's different for everybody. Like I think that for me, for something like this, you know, I'm not going to be quite as precious with it as something that, you know, we're putting out on our own. And I'm more willing to work with the studios and work with, you know, the powers that be, and to make something that works for the film. Because like I get to be like, okay, you know, like this is kind of not my this is not about me. This is about what's serving this project, right? Which is a nice thing to do, because so much of the time I'm thinking about me, you know, and I'm thinking about like, what's the most true kind of like, what is the truest thing that we could put forth out into the world as a band or as a solo artist, you know, or whatever. But for a film like this, especially, you know, it's a big action superhero franchise, I love to be able to take a bit more of a backseat and be like, I'm here for you. Mm. What can I do for you? So that, but that's just me. You know, other people are a bit more obstinate, you know, when it comes to anything that they put out, you know, like I'm not so precious all the time. And that just is a healthy place for me to live in. So for us, for this project, you know, we started off, we wrote the original demo for the song in an afternoon. It had a different title, a different like chorus line. It got put in a playlist of a bunch of other songs that got sent to the director. Mm. And the director picked ours because he really loved it. And then we saw a rough cut of the film. The song wasn't in the film yet, but we just saw a rough cut of it to get a better sense of it. And then afterwards had a conversation with the producer and the director, and they wanted to change a word in the chorus because it felt too much of like a downer. Mm. And I was like, I mean, that's just generally what I write. I write downers. I love downers. and so we were like, okay, we can work with that. And that took a couple months of deep thought and finagling and frustration. And then finally ended with something that they actually, in that time too, I was getting so frustrated. I was like, man, let me just write something different for you. I'll just try and write a couple different. And we wrote three other songs that were also great, but they just came back to this original one and still just wanted that one little lyric tweak. So we tweaked the lyric and and then once that was done, it was just a matter of like kind of spicing up the production. And and you know, I think that like a part of what happened too is like the movie changed while all of these edits were going on, that, you know, and the movie changed in certain ways. And at one point the song like wasn't really a fit, and then it like ended up being a fit again. And you know, especially when you're dealing with so much visual effects stuff, it's a big long process. But yeah, man, like I got no shame in saying that, you know, if it's something like this, like I definitely like I make compromises, you know, because I want to be a part of the project. And I have fun sometimes doing that, you know, as long as like it's not something that makes me look terrible and that I really genuinely hate, you know. Sure. Like, but I love to be able to work with, you know, other people and put my ego aside for a second. That's really nice. And I think a very healthy thing for everyone to do once in a while.
Well, and as I say, I guess the interesting thing for me is that you know, on a film, you've got a lot of different people with a lot of different visions. Everybody's trying to do their own thing. And even if it's ego aside, you know, certain people, obviously, you know, your director wants the film to be the way that the director wants, the studio wants what they want. So I imagine that it takes a lot of, a compromise, and it's an interesting angle, I think. And I bet a lot of musicians wouldn't be able to do what you do.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, again, it's to each his own and her own and their own, you know. I really like collaborating with directors and other creatives and yeah, you know, with something like this, again, like I didn't really feel like I needed to, there were too many hills that I needed to die on, right? You know, for something sure. like this.
Yeah. You're part of the team. You're part of the team. There's no I in TEAM, as they say.
Nope.
Right. And it's interesting, you know, thinking about your career and looking at it, you've also got, and folks should sort of understand this, they may not understand the whole, the sync world, you know, the sync world that you sort of, are very successful in, and how that works for you, as a musician and for the rest of the band and stuff. And maybe you could sort of explain for our audience a little bit how that works, how that comes about, and how you sort of live in that world too, between, you know, working on things individually with your group, but yet being open to branching out into other things and showing up in maybe unexpected places.
Yeah. I mean, I think that historically for us, most of the biggest kind of syncs that we've gotten were songs that were written prior to knowing anything about the project.
Interesting.
You know, they were just songs that fit it very well. And to that, I would just say that, you know, like, the songs came from very real and genuine places. And I think that also growing up loving film and loving drama, you know, we bring that into our music. Our music has, you know, a lot of drama in it. And that's just a texture that we have always kind of had, and it's a part of our DNA. So I think that it's, luckily for us, has fit really well in the sync world. And I, you know, I think my voice kind of lends itself to that world too. And I can't even put my finger on it, man. Like what about my voice makes it work well in that, in context of film and TV, but it kind of does. But then other than that, yeah, man, I think sync stuff is very important, financially for artists, you know, like those are what pay the bills a lot of the time and have, and, you know, historically for us, and they're consistent it's so insanely hard to make money these days it's like both easier than it ever has been and also harder than it's ever been, for musicians to earn a living. Syncs really do help a lot and have helped us a lot over the years.
And interesting, you know, just to go back to your voice for a sec, I was listening to your music this week and just sort of absorbing it and living with it. And your voice is unique, you know, and I think if I had to sort of, offer an opinion about why I think it's successful, the texture of your voice, I think, has a tendency to really cut through the rest of the production. And I think a lot of your tunes have, you know, this great, as you said, dramatic, there's a lot of drama, there's a lot of stuff happening there, but I think your vocals, cut through really well and are, I want to use the word like, I want to say it's like almost like a, I'm trying to define a wine here, but your voice is like very pleasing in the mix. It's very inviting within the mix of the dark drama. Your voice is somehow comforting in there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you heard that? Have you gotten feedback like that before, or what do you think?
I don't know. I think that might be the first time I've heard it described as comforting. I really like that. That's okay. Nice. Very nice. It is comforting to me to hear that.
Well, thank you for comforting me this week. And on the topic of comfort, you know, I did have a chance to, I don't know if we're supposed to talk about this or not, but I had a chance to do a sneak peek, the Townie album. Are we okay to talk about this a little bit?
Yeah. I would love to talk about the Townie.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, man. This record is all about home. It's about our hometown, Ithaca, New York, upstate. You know, it's about growing up, looking back on the past and having the past kind of weave its way into the present. I think that a big part of who you are is where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
There's a vitality to that place for me. That will always be in my bones and in my heart. And I think that for so long I tried to run away from it, and I did. I literally, like, you know, I as soon as I could, I got out of that town. Mm. I wanted to get as far away from it as possible and not let it define me, but it does define who I am, and I'm proud of who I am, and I love my hometown. It's a small place that's kind of, you know, tucked away in the corner of the country, you know, and not a lot of people really know where it is or, you know, what upstate New York is like. And it has its very own, very specific identity. And I always felt like, I always felt frustrated that wasn't more apparent to the rest of the world. And so, you know, this record, I want to really try and define, in trying to define where I'm from, it helped define myself again.
Right.
You know, And I'm so excited about this record. It's very personal, and I'm just excited about it.
I'm excited about it too. And I have to tell you, I don't know what kind of week I had, but I was listening to it and it's super emotional. And the writing here is, I'm back to my sommelier here. Soup razor sharp writing. And you've got some vivid stuff happening here that I wasn't, and I'll just be frank, I just wasn't expecting it. And it just knocked me over and I went like, what's happening here? So, thanks. I mean, this is people should be excited about this record coming down the pike it sounds like you're excited. You watching you talk about it, it seems like you kind of were in agreement here. I'm glad you like your own work because, it looks like you're proud of it.
I'm extremely proud of it. I do think it's some of my best songwriting. I think I've grown a lot as a songwriter in the last, even just the last, I'd say 4 years. This was kind of my time to really flex those muscles. And I really wanted to showcase the songs, first and foremost on this record. You know, the last record was so high concept in terms of like what we were doing outside of the music. And, it was just a weirdo of a record. And I was very happy to make it. And I had so much fun doing it. And I think there's a clarity on this new one that I haven't had in my entire career. And I feel really, really, blessed to have had that experience of writing it. And I can't wait for people to hear it. I hope with this record that it can change people's minds of who we are and that we're not just, you know, like some commercial rock band. That's my biggest hope with this record, that they get to see who we really are. Cause that was the journey that I went on to try and make this thing. I really dug deep to try and figure out who I am now. And I think we've always in a way tried to, with every record, redefine ourselves. This didn't feel as much of a redefinition as a definition to me. Mm.
Well, Sam, I'm excited about the record and I'm glad you're excited. And I'm kind of excited because I got to hear it. Nobody got to hear it.
I'm so glad.
But I need to listen to it again because I didn't spend as much time with it as I wanted to because I was focused on other stuff. But I really want to delve in and I'm excited to watch how you'll release the singles and how it's going to go.
Yeah, well, we got the first single out and that's a song that we've had for a while and it was a chorus that was just kind of lying around that didn't really fit anywhere. And then I went back in when we were making this record, I kind of wanted like an up tempo and I found that chorus and ended up rewriting the verses with my buddy, Jay Cash. And I was like, can we make everything about this, like feel like upstate New York and growing up in upstate New York. And it's a song about, you know, like searching for whatever you can in a small town to make you feel like the world is a bigger place and that you can't, there is like a way to get out. There is an escape. And some of those things that you find maybe aren't so good. Some of them are pretty amazing, you know, like, it's a mixed bag, but that's what the song feels like to me.
Well, it's interesting that you're focused so much on upstate New York, and I know you're from upstate. Now, I'm joining you from New Jersey today, so upstate New York is not far away. But I've had the pleasure of talking to John Resnick about Buffalo and upstate New York. Mm-hmm. John Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls, and also Peter Case.
I forgot he's from Buffalo.
Yes, he's a Buffalo guy, and Peter Case grew up outside of Buffalo as well. And
that's cool.
And they both, there is something about upstate New York when you're from up there, something about those long winters or something that I think if you're an artist, it does come out in what you create.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have loved the Goo Goo Dolls my whole life. Like Iris was such a defining song for me, like as a singer, as a songwriter. I loved that song. I used to play it on a loop.
Yeah.
Soundtrack song. Cool soundtrack song.
Right.
Full circle.
It's true. Well, the Goo Goo Doll stuff is funny too for me, because I just, and whenever I talk to John Reznor, I've managed to speak with him twice, but I always say, like, you don't understand, for when I was in high school, like, this was wallpaper, this music. It was everywhere, you know.
Yeah,
it was so consistently everywhere. So yeah. It's exciting.
That's cool that he's from upstate New York. I don't know if I even knew that.
Yeah, Big Buffalo Band. Wow. Big Buffalo Band.
That's rad. That's rad.
So that's exciting. So the new album is exciting. And what about production going on? Are you working with anyone recently, or anything coming up this year that you've produced outside of your own music?
Well, you know, we're slowly starting to work on some new stuff for our new record. And then I have a new record, another solo record that I worked on with my buddy Malay Ho. And Malay did Channel Orange and Blonde for Frank Ocean, and worked on the first Zane record. And he's done a bunch of other stuff. He's an incredible guy, an incredible producer, and an old friend of mine. We've worked together on some songs of the band as well. Yes, I have a new project, a new record coming that I did with him. And then I'm doing a lot of writing for other folks and producing for other folks. And I got a couple of things coming out soonish with some fun artists, outside of my wheelhouse, which has been really fun to work outside of my, I've been doing a lot of country writing. I've been working a lot in Nashville, and that's been so fun for me, and I've learned a lot.
Well, Sam, listen, 2023 was a great year for you. 2024 is gearing up to be a busy year, it sounds like. So congrats on all the stuff coming up. And again, I'm excited about this new record and your solo record. So this is a great year. This is great.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Radar is produced by Evan Toth in partnership with The Vinyl District. You can hear Radar anytime online at thevinyldistrict.com.